Hello, everyone, and welcome to the big show. I am Jeff Gamet, once again, your interim host, while Ewan is out and about taking over the world with his technological empire. Go, Ewan. I, for one, welcome our new Ewan Autobot overlords. I'm sure this will be a completely benevolent dictatorship. Anyhow, Ewan, we're looking forward to when you can join us again. And of course, we miss you. We have an absolutely awesome panel today. And let's just jump right in. Ian, how are you?
I'm great. I'm very warm up here in Yorkshire today. It's been roasting. It's just starting to cool down now. We had a thunderstorm earlier, so it is roasting. But otherwise, all is good. All is good.
Awesome. And Hawa, how are you?
I'm good. It's been a while. Very long while.
It's awesome to see you. You've been gone so long that Ewan doesn't even look the same anymore.
I'm sure that's not true.
But Ewan is still beautiful.
Ewan is still old.
Yeah, I don't know whether he'd describe himself as beautiful, but hey.
Well, you know.
Definitely old.
You take it as you can get it. Anyhow, it is absolutely awesome to see you.
Thank you.
And Patrice, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm doing really well. I had a really nice day. Good week. Thursday. What else can I say?
Yeah. There we go. And Bart, it's been forever. I am so happy to see you.
Likewise. I think the last time I was here, we were still on Skype. That's how long it's been, which is obviously much too long.
It's about 17 years.
Delighted to join you from the joys of my own house. I have for the first time in life become a homeowner since last we spoke. So excellent. This terrible, that's messy fantastic background is now permanent.
Go you.
It's a good thing, sir. Awesome. It's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very good.
All right, Rich, how are you doing?
Hey, do you know what? I've had a terrible week. I have been so ill and doing COVID test after COVID test after COVID test after COVID test. And apparently I've not got COVID. So I've had a fun week or so. What the hell is wrong with me then?
That sucks.
It does. And I still don't know. And I don't know. I might die still. Who knows?
Anything. Not me, mate.
I thought you had installed Windows 11 again.
Yeah, that's what I had.
I'm still suffering through that pain. It's still happening.
I heard all about the pain.
A lot of pain.
You may just be allergic to Windows 11.
I think that's entirely feasible. It's quite possible.
Yeah. All right. So anyone who wants to be an armchair doctor, please feel free to diagnose Rich.
Thank you.
Yeah, we know he feels like crap, and it's not COVID. Go. Okay.
That is all I could tell an actual doctor as well. That's why I don't know what's wrong.
It must be cancer then. If you Google it, it's cancer. Oh, it always is.
I think I've got all the bad things all at once somehow.
Absolutely. It's always cancer when you Google it.
Yeah.
No matter what it is. Ingrown toenail, it's still cancer.
Yep.
So yeah, when the doctors don't know, though, they love to say it's a viral illness. No idea which virus, just a viral illness.
Yeah, I guess that covers many
chances. Even though they're painfully vague.
Yeah. I know which viral illness it isn't. So
that's a start. It's one of many, one down.
See, in Nigeria, they would either say you've got malaria or typhoid. That's the solution to everything. It's malaria and it's typhoid. We'll just treat you.
Is there somewhere I can go and get tested for those then? Because I might have malaria and typhoid. I'm now worried about that.
It's always lupus.
And lupus. Stop adding to this list of things that are killing me right now.
What about Lyme disease while we're at it?
UK.
Lyme disease is actually possible, yeah.
Lyme disease is possible, definitely.
It is.
You've been drinking any rivers? You've been in any rivers and drinking any water from it?
No, but I've been walking a dog.
Get virus disease? No, that should be all right. Well, if you've been rubbing your face in the wet dog, if it's been in the river, then you stand a chance of not having virus disease.
Right, no, I think I'm good for that.
could be a parasite. You know, I mean, if you have been drinking out of questionable water sources, maybe Giardia. Well, if it was Giardia, you wouldn't have any color in your face right now, and you actually wouldn't be sitting there. You'd be sitting in the bathroom. Maybe
exactly. If I'm honest, I'm hoping this is the beginning of my mutant abilities beginning to manifest themselves, and. In a couple of weeks, we'll see what special powers I develop. I'm quite looking forward to it.
Yeah, that sounds great.
I'm hoping something with flying. You know, that'll save on airfare, if nothing else.
Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Or just Spider-Man. Yeah, that one as well.
Spider-Rich, you were never a spider.
No.
Well, okay.
We do whatever rich spider does. That's it, a rich spider does.
There we go. Not a lot.
Tell me if spiders. They're everybody wet.
Installing Windows 11. That's what he does.
Yes. All right. So, Ian, you are clearly an overachiever today because you didn't even bother to wait for me to say who has the first story.
Oh, it's not me. No, there's two ahead of me.
I went in. As well. I was like, I'm in there because Jeff's hosting. Yeah. So he's thinking about it.
You know what?
That's I went way ahead of me.
I blame Textual because the window didn't actually refresh properly. Hey, so apparently almost everyone on the panel today is an overachiever, except for me, because I'm incapable of checking to see if Textual is actually updating itself. So go me. All right.
Yeah, and I win the prize for being the most useless panelist because I don't even know where the notes are.
Notes? There are no notes.
Okay, well then I feel better now.
Yeah,
we make it up as we go along.
You must know this. We make it up as we go along. We've never had any.
Yeah,
I vaguely remember doing a little bit of homework for you in the past, vaguely.
Yeah, the level of homework you have to do is scramble to find some tech related story.
Done.
There we go. See?
Yeah. So that's not hard.
There. All right. And then everyone puts the link to their story into the IRC chat so that I can miss seeing that they're actually there and try and start with the wrong person. All right. Hawa, tell us about your story. Microsoft Teams Outlook features for remote work?
Yes, just some features that they're looking to bring in to Teams based on the study that they've done on remote work. What I found interesting in this article is, so on your Outlook, what they're planning to do is you can select, you know, whether you're attending a meeting, but you can decide whether you're online or in person. So, everyone's going to know. But I thought, why do you need that now? Because surely we've got, yes, I understand that, you know, because of COVID, we've all changed our ways of working. But you've always had quite a large number of people that have been either working from home or are always in transit. So joining meetings, they're always doing it online. And so I'm not too sure about that, but I thought that was interesting. There's some updates as well to PowerPoint. I'm letting you customize how and where you appear on the screen with your slides.
That'd be neat.
Yeah, that'd be quite neat.
And I got rooms at last, I say.
And rooms one thing, are coming.
One of the funny thing that's been missing that drives me potty is other services I've used, I can have my own personal ID and just say connect here and I'll be there. You can't do that with Teams. That's a right pain. So I like that.
I've never used that because I Zoom has that too, and I hate it.
I hate rooms.
Like I have to have I like to have a separate ID for every meeting, so I can go from one to the other, but people can join before and they're not joining the previous meeting.
Yeah, I mean I do that when I'm doing things with individual customers, but quite often I'm jumping in there. I've got a session going on all day or a couple of days for a week, and it's nice to have one consistent meeting that I can just say connect to my Zoom room. I'm there, and that's it. Or RingCentral is actually the program we use, but it's the same thing. It's Zoom under the covers. And people connect into my my room. I've been using it all week for some stuff I've been doing, and it works really nicely. Teams, I have to generate a new code. If it times out and you have to generate a new code, it's just annoying. And then you end up with five different chats in your Teams window of all the different meetings, and it then becomes chaos to try and work out which one people are chatting in. And so, yeah, well, I'm all for that.
Doesn't it depend on what you're trying to achieve? Because one of the powers of the way Teams does it is that if you have a recurring weekly meeting, then that chat remains for the entire forever for that weekly meeting.
It tries, not always for some of the ones I've seen. It's been a bit odd. I'm not sure it's the customer. It's generally ones that I'm sent to join, and I go, and it's not always set as I expected.
So it's badly implemented?
Probably.
It sounds like people aren't using because if you use it within an organization, it's particularly strong and it's particularly good at having recurring stuff make sense and work really well together with the meeting notes tab and all that kind of stuff. Like it actually, within an organization that uses it, right, it's actually extremely powerful.
Oh, God, yeah. But if, like me, you're a visitor to these organizations, because I work for a vendor and I'm constantly connecting to different customers to talk to them.
Yeah,
I can only get a subset of the availability of things. I can't share it. I quite often can't collaborate on documents with people and things, which is a pain.
It depends on who's hosting you as the guest.
Yeah, they're hosting me. Paranoid. And they're so locked down. I mean, and quite often I need remote control, so I have to use another tool to be able to gain access to their systems to work on their systems. Yeah, while still keeping the Teams chat open, so I've got a means to talk to them and an audio. It's just a mess.
It just sounds like a nightmare.
It does depend on who the host is, because working in a university, we have the luxury that the expectation is that we're more open than a corporation. So our guests tend to have a pretty good experience. But when I have to dial into a corporation, then they tend to have their default is turn it off, everything off. We shall have no communication. We shall have no anything off.
Yeah.
The other thing I also found interesting is about what they're doing with LinkedIn. So they're trying to have it so that when you are looking at jobs on LinkedIn, you can select, remote or hybrid opportunities, which I have seen that a lot in quite a lot of job boards now. There is that option to select whether you want to do remote. So
Go ahead.
I mean, I think that was one of the problems LinkedIn had so far. Like, there was no good way to say this is a remote position. Like, some companies put it in as a location and said simply location or remote or something, but there was simply no good, really reliable way to say, well, it doesn't matter where you are.
Yeah, a friend of my wife was telling us that a solicitor she knows is having trouble getting more lawyers in to work for them, or they want to come and work for them, but they want to work on London, they want to work remotely for London wages in Leeds. That's not happening because the wages, the disparity between the north and London is just that, no, that's not happening. And so there's a difficulty in finding people at the right level of things to work. I mean, I'm still remaining remote for as long as I can hang on to it for. And our office is sort of like a 45-minute drive through the seedier bits of Leeds. I can't be bothered. I'll go if I have to. And that's what. And there was an argument that's been said, well, I come if you've got something for me to do. Got a class for me to deliver, you've got some work you need me to do, I'll come into the office, but I'm not just coming for the sake of coming. There's no point in me just rocking up to the office for the sake of being sat there. And after a conversation about, am I not doing all my work? Well, yeah, you're doing a great job in, so why do I need to come in then? Oh, yeah, all right. And so it's kind of, I've persuaded them that they'll see my cheerful face once in a while. I'm going in tomorrow for a change. We've got there's a guy leaving, so we're gonna have a bit of a party there for him and stuff. So
I'll be on Monday for a bit. Watch the big show. They can see you every week.
Exactly.
Exactly.
We're actually being strangely proactive here in Ireland. The government are actively encouraging the entire public sector to trial going 50-50 remote and in person permanently. I think it's an attempt to deal with the Dublin traffic problem by just basically saying, if half of you don't come in half the time, then we don't have half as much of a problem.
That's true. There's no such coordination whatsoever here. I mean, the government here is still saying, if you can work from home, it's just safer. But there is no, it's not a mandatory thing. If you want to come in, you can. So.
Well, for us now, it's we're now in an intermediate phase where we're allowed to come in if we want to until the 20th mm-hmm. of September, when it becomes you're now in 50-50.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And here in the United States, it's do whatever you want, just don't shoot me.
Yeah.
Patrice, your story was next, and I was already familiar with the story, and I love it. And part of what I love about your story is every place it's been writing about it says developer returns to his app. He's a journalist that wrote some stuff decades ago. But anyhow.
Yes. Yeah. So probably a first on the big show that I ever bring a gaming story, because usually I'm not into games. Man. I saw that and I was like, oh, this is cool. So apparently about like somewhere in the 80s, I want to say. Yeah, 1980-81. Some guy named Harry Scott Adams.
Actually? I've heard of him.
Right.
Games developer from a million years
Scott
ago.
Scott Adams was the book, sorry. He wrote a text-based adventure in BASIC called Arctic Adventure. And I think he sold it, or like the book was like, I think he just did it and the book was sold or something. He never even got a copy of it. Like, that was the funny story. Like, he wrote the thing, someone else published it, he never even got a book.
It was a book that had code in it. Because back then,
I wish we sold software like that now. That would be fantastic.
Nobody would ever get anything.
You buy Adobe Creative Cloud and a filing cabinet arrives at the house.
And then you can use it in about 5 years.
Mm-hmm. You get those magazines where they were coding part work. You get so much of it each week to type in before you completed your programs.
Yep. So the story is like, I mean, he, as Jeff said, he moved on, like became a journalist, didn't really do much with development, didn't even think about the project all that much. And then like recently, probably lockdown related, he decided to actually give his code a try. Like, I think he wanted to publish it on the web or something as like for a TRS-80 emulator. Yeah. So he started typing in the thing, and then he realized the code in the book didn't even work. And nobody had ever told him. Like, nobody had even noticed, or maybe people noticed and just fixed it. It was a very simple fix. Like, it wasn't anything complicated. It was just like one typo somewhere where, like, I think a zero was a one or something like that. That apparently the publisher and the editor and apparently had a guy that was supposed to check code that it actually works before it gets published. Nobody noticed. I said, the game wasn't playable at all. Like, it just didn't work. Couldn't do anything. So it wasn't even like a minor bug somewhere where something didn't work. Like, the entire thing was broken. So he fixed it, and then he decided, well, while I'm at it, I'm just gonna keep developing this. So he didn't like rewrite it or like make it modern or like make a second version. He just kind of, as if he had, like, after, what is that, 40 years, 30 years?
Mm-hmm.
Just decided to continue developing it. So he added some stuff, extended it, like, made it basically better, and has published that. And you can have it, I think, for free on the web. Like, it's just something he did. So, as I said, funny, it's a really fun story.
It's kind of proof that while games did get written down and sold in books, did anyone actually do that? Clearly not.
No,
apparently not.
I said, not even the people that published people them, apparently.
Fixed. Yeah, I mean, definitely not. I said, maybe he didn't know. He was like, I mean, I never saw the book. I never tried it. I never even bothered with it. Like, I was done with it. And he came back to it. So.
Yeah, well, that's one way to avoid bit rot on a disk.
So if you want to play Arctic Adventure, if you remember it, if you are
How
interested
would you remember
in it,
it was not playable.
Well, I mean, someone apparently someone bought the book, so someone must have played it.
Oh yeah, that's true. And I'm sure that they got really frustrated when it turns out that it actually wasn't playable after they spent hours typing in code and then going back trying to figure out where they introduced a syntax error, and it turns out they didn't.
They didn't, no.
Yeah. Oh my God, that's awesome. Yeah. You know, so, I kind of miss those old text adventure days.
They were a time past, I think. Now I'm not sure how I'd feel about one if I tried it now. It's a wonderful thing, but I'm not sure what I'd think of it now. I think it's those things nice in the memory rather than in the actuality anymore.
I would probably enjoy the nostalgia, and
I think it'd be good just to, like you said, just to play one, and then probably that's it. I'm satisfied with that.
Everything is so visual these days. I don't think you would enjoy it all that much.
Probably not. No. Okay, that's an absolutely awesome story. And it turns out that Ian, I've caught up to the chat where you actually put your article in.
Yeah, I was third in queue. This is fine. Mine's an interesting story. It's all a little bit Big Brotherish about the idea of nudge behavior. I'm familiar with this idea where your advertising gently pushes people in the direction of things and you get fed back stuff that gently nudges the idea. If you read the article, they talk about in its simplest context of things where if your Amazon order includes a box of matches and some candles, Alexa will start giving you safety advice about fire. And they've been using this kind of data also to monitor the population in the way of looking for people doing searches online that are directly result in things like radicalization or joining gangs or other such things that they want to try and keep teens at risk away from. And so that was where it originally kind of started. But there's starting to be more instances, or so the study's seen, of people using governments using nudge behavior to gently push the population's opinions in certain directions, which is kind of a bit scary. It's a bit number 10. It's a bit not number 10, a bit 984.
Is it though? Because, I mean, this has been around for definitely long, long time. I mean, I remember like history, like I took some history courses at the university, like First, Second World War, and there was plenty of stories about the government nudging the population in certain direction.
I suppose it's no different to propaganda. I suppose it's no different to classic propaganda, is it, really? Yeah. It's just the modern iteration of it. Instead of being a big poster with Uncle Sam needs you on the front of it, or...
Yeah,
and, lock up your doors, the Russians are coming, whatever, you know. It's
Sometimes it's subtler than propaganda. Like sometimes it was like little, as you said, little nudges, just like how things were phrased, how things were reported, just to get, I mean, like to be honest, get, for example, the US to join the World War.
Yeah.
Like that was, especially World War II, that was something that like nobody wanted, and it had to change. And I think Pearl Harbor had a big part of that, but it was also a lot of politicians pushing the opinion in a certain direction.
Where ended their isolation?
Data these days is vastly different. I mean, back in the day, they had like the news and like they could like figure out what people were thinking based on like what they were talking about at whatever the pub or whatever, stuff like that. But it was possible to get an idea what people are thinking and what their opinions are.
Yeah, I think the concern is that it could cause harm by, not necessarily propaganda in its classic sense, but it's because it's more subtle. It's nudge is a lot more subtle than a simple advert which says, lock up your daughters, the Russians are coming over the hill, you know, or those nasty Germans will kill you all, come and keep, you know, again, and all of this kind of nonsense that was done at that period. It's very much different.
There's nothing magical here, right? This is just, I mean, there's actually a name for this field of study, other than nudge, it's behavioral economics. And by the weirdest fluke of coincidence, while I was cycling before, like literally an hour before recording this, the latest episode of Freakonomics Radio is an interview with the guys who wrote the book on nudges, which has been completely rewritten.
Must have listened to that. I like his stuff.
Yeah, so it's the latest Freakonomics episode. Really cool. Richard Thaler is the guest, and it's fabulous. And he's explaining. I mean, it's basically, he talked actually a lot about nudge and its opposite, sludge. So if you want something to go smoothly, then you make the default be the thing you want people to do. But a lot of times processes are terrible, forms are hard to fill in, and you end up accidentally having the inverse effect of a nudge, which he calls sludge. And he mm-hmm. estimates it's like so many billion hours wasted in the US due to sludge every year. Mm. That's a great episode, definitely worth listening.
There are like some like I was just thinking about it when Bob Beach mentioned it in the chat. There are some like really big shifts that happened over decades, like in the area of like food and what's healthy and whatever, based on completely bogus data.
Yeah, all the time.
And so like billions spent on stuff. And that was a nudge. Like it was like it wasn't a massive shift. It just nudged people in a certain direction. Like fat is bad.
Yeah. All right. So
salt is bad is another one.
Yeah, salt is completely bad. That's another bad. Like we've had so many.
All right, I'm going to quote Bob because he's schooling all of us.
He is actually an economist.
Nudge theory came out of behavioral economics, but one of the key studies has been recently shown to have been based on fabricated data. Bob, am I correct in interpreting that to mean that nudge theory is a big bucket of crap?
I don't think you can jump to that conclusion that there's a paper with bad data. I mean, the entire field of incentive suddenly vanishes. Behavioral economics still exists.
Not necessarily, says Bob.
It's never that straightforward.
To let anything stop me from going to extremes just because...
I say it's never anything like that, but then again, it took one paper with fabricated data to make everyone stop getting... Which vaccine was it that...
The MMR
autism, yeah, the autism. MMR and the autism.
It was MMR Wake that asshat Wakefield who wrote a really dodgy paper. He wrote a really dodgy paper that basically said that this he had money in his pocket was the reason why he did it, because he was working on a competitive vaccine and he wants people to stop using whoever makes the MMR one, I can't remember now, and use a different one. And that was his whole thing. Oh, well, I'm going to give you autism. Use mine. Mine's better. And it was that kind of thing. It was the bait and switch type of stuff. And that went horribly wrong. And then we all go, and everybody started worrying about vaccinating their children. And then we end up, now we feel this whole world of morons that think you shouldn't vaccinate your children.
Make sure to take a horse dewormer instead.
And said, yeah, exactly. Take horse dewormer.
Welcome to the United
By the way, The phrase moron is also from a very popular, like very big example of shoddy data.
Yes.
The whole eugenics stuff. The entire eugenics research science.
Yeah.
Basically one or two books that were completely bogus.
Oh, really? I must read more.
Later. They were proven later.
I must have read that. That's interesting to read about.
Yeah.
You know, it is so easy to get bunk information out there. And when people latch on to it, getting the change so that they see and then are able to process and accept correct data is really hard. One of my favorites is spinach. So spinach is pushed as the superfood for iron because it has 1,000% of your daily needs for iron, which is completely wrong. What happened was early 20th century, New York Times ran an article about different foods being good for you. And there was a typo when they listed spinach. And so it said 1,000%. And so what ended up happening was people latched onto that. And then when they issued the retraction, like the next day, it didn't matter.
Nobody reads retraction, right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. No reads, yeah.
Actually, I'm going to tie us right the way back to propaganda here. So carrots are good for your eyes.
Yes. Yes. I was thinking of this.
The British invented radar and didn't want the Germans to know how they could see all their planes coming by magic. So they put out the story that they fed their pilots carrots and it made them have great eyesight. It wasn't carrots, it was radar.
That's exactly it. That's exactly the truth. I was just thinking of that story. It's brilliant.
Just, yeah.
A brilliant piece of propaganda. Oh, yeah, we give them carrots so I can see in the dark. And my mother, as a small boy, would say, "Eat carrots, make you see in the dark." Yeah. And still, you know, and as folklore and things, it still runs through. Mm. But it was complete trap. It was just so we could hide the fact we'd invented radar, and we didn't want the Germans to know.
I know loads of people who still believe that and still tout it.
Yeah, exactly.
You need to eat carrots, and I'm like, no.
They're nice and they're tasty, but
they're a nice vegetable, but nothing to do with ice.
It goes as far that I believe that anything that's conventional wisdom is most likely wrong, to some extent.
But isn't that conventional wisdom? Therefore, that's wrong.
Yeah.
Therefore, everything explodes.
Yeah, exactly.
Conventional wisdom, and then what's the other one? Common sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Just forget about it.
And that's the stuff that
my husband loves to say. There's nothing less common than common sense.
Right. Yes. All right. So that's been this week in health food.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. and I know I certainly am feeling more healthy for it. All right. So Bart, tell us about your story.
I love that you're letting me segue into a story about a telescope after talking about seeing in the dark. That's brilliant.
But hey, so you set it up. I hit it out of the park for you.
Yeah.
So I checked the date. 2007, NASA brought a full-size scale model of the James Webb Telescope around Europe to show off how great it would be. And it visited Dublin and I went to see it. That was 2007. It was in Dublin.
Wow.
Finally, we have a launch date for the darn thing. Apparently, it's going up on the 18th of December this year.
Nice.
So, and what I really think is nice, actually, is that the Europeans are launching it. So it's NASA's biggest telescope. It's considered the replacement for the Hubble. It's not really. It actually views in near infrared instead of visible light. But nonetheless, it's a really significant telescope. We're getting to launch it on Ariane 5. And there's an amazing table on the Wikipedia page that lists the budget versus time. So in 1997, the planned launch date was 2007 with a budget of $500 million, which was already an expensive telescope.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. As of now, the planned launch date is December 2021 with a budget of $9.7 billion.
God.
Double.
Whoa.
Okay. That's like 20 times as much almost. Like 18.
Yeah. About. It's like a whole order of magnitude higher. That is an amazing cost over them. This thing had better not need a pair of glasses fitted like the Hubble did. This thing had better be right the first time.
Let's hope they don't send it up and then it's broken.
Yeah, suddenly that telescope my dad got for his birthday looks pretty lame.
Cheap, though. Yeah. Good value for money.
Much cheaper, but, you know, it looks much better.
Should have bought the one for $9.2 billion.
I told my mom, get the one that launches on the Ariane 5. And she's like, no, he doesn't need that. Like, oh, it'd be better, though.
And you're right, it would be better. But you know,
I know, right? As it is, he can't even connect it to his Wi-Fi.
And the other thing is, if we have messed it up, if it is messed up, they're launching it out to L2, the Lagrange point, so there's no way to get it back. So even if we wanted to go fit a pair of glasses like we did on Hubble, there is no mechanism to go fit the glasses. This thing needs to be right when it goes up in December.
That's a really good point.
Which might account for why it's taken this long.
One would hope so.
One would hope so, yeah. But I mean, you know, usually it's more public spending, government.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm sure a lot of that is more the labor costs than anything else.
Well, I know they did a test deployment of, I think, I can't remember if it was the antennas or the solar panels, but it basically didn't work. And so they had to go back to the drawing board and a few things. It has been plagued by problem after problem after problem, and each of them individually isn't too bad. It's just they keep coming. It's just one and then another and then another and then another. But apparently we'll get to see really cool stuff in the early universe, because this thing sees just a little bit to the red side of the visible spectrum, so it's near infrared, so it should be able to see all the gas and dust and all the cool stuff. So fingers crossed, hopefully early next year we see cool pictures from the JWST.
Very, very cool.
It's given that Hubble is, I mean, on its last legs. They revived it. They managed to reboot the computer.
It is amazing. How, yeah. Like, Hubble is so far beyond even the most optimistic dream of what it might do. And yes. Like, initially they thought it would need, I can't remember how many reaction wheels to keep functioning. And they just kept on writing smarter software and giving it firmware updates to make it work on, you know, 3 reaction wheels. No, no, we'll make it go on 2. Yeah. We're going on 2 reaction wheels. It's mm-hmm. It's stunning what they have done with that telescope. Yeah. That thing owes us nothing. Even if it did need a pair of glasses fitted, it's more than made up for it since.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, everybody needs, like, when you're getting older, most people need glasses, so it's fine.
True.
Yeah.
Though I'm actually one of the few people who grew out of my glasses. I needed glasses in my 20s, and now I don't.
Lucky you.
That just sounds like luxury. I can't even imagine.
I'm now needing glasses that do both long and close.
Same. I'm going through that.
I'm trying to avoid it. There's all this yeah. stuff going on when you're looking at things.
I do that all the time. Or you do this.
Yeah. And you're doing that. The arms get longer as you're trying to see it. I know. Oh, it's a sign of getting old.
Okay, so it's not just me.
No.
I have trifocals.
Yeah, try.
And
you've upped me then. I've got vary.
And then my computer glasses, which are single focus.
Yeah, I've got varies now. My eyes are old.
Yeah. Oh, hey, get off my lawn.
Indeed. I remember when all this was fields.
Actually, for where I'm sitting now, that was last year, actually.
Yeah. Okay, Rich, you have a story, which is actually something that I was looking at as a potential story. So...
So clearly there was a meeting at Facebook headquarters and they all sat around and they were like, you know, our image it's not great on privacy. People don't really trust us that much. They think we're looking at WhatsApp messages, all kinds of things. What can we do? What thing could we do as a company to really help people trust us and feel safe and protected and know that Facebook name means reliability and privacy? And someone said, spyglasses.
Yeah.
And here we go.
Mark. Dear God.
They've teamed up with Ray-Ban to produce a pair of sunglasses that have cameras in them that shoot video and take pictures without people knowing. But they do have a little white light that is absolutely not obscurable by a little dot from a black Sharpie marker. And
that's lucky.
Yeah. There's no way you could make these things look like they're not recording video all the time. And they're a pair of Ray-Bans that cost $300. Okay. That's what you could pay $300 for Ray-Bans without the cameras and Facebook stuff.
I thought Google were the worst possible company to release glasses that record video, but I forgot about Facebook.
There's so much room for it to be far much worse.
A whole new level of dodgy things.
So if you would like everyone you meet to feel very insecure and cagey around you and possibly avoid you altogether, then this is the project for you. You need to get in on this.
Yeah, I mean, it can be a way of keeping people away from you.
Yeah, if you want everybody you speak to say, are you recording this? Then here you go. $300, that kind of being left alone by all the other people in the world.
They've partnered with Ray-Ban and they're not even nice.
No. They're neither nice, nor are they like really all that great. I mean, they don't have any screens on it. Like, all they have is basically just like they took a pair of sunglasses, put like 2 cameras on it, and
they're not the lenses, are they? They've just miniaturized them into the head, into the arms, haven't they? That's all they've done.
That's about it.
Jeez, that's
so you don't.
I mean, they're pretty much the same as the Snapchat glasses that came out, except when Snapchat were facing the problem of how do we deal with people knowing that we're wearing our secret glasses, they say, well, let's make them look so fucking ridiculous that no human being would actually want to wear them or be seen out in public. So you can see people wearing them from literally a mile away. Whereas these actually look like a pair of Ray-Bans, which is much better. But it's based, the rest of this article is then basically just a list of all the groups of people in the world who might suffer from these being a thing. And it's just a list of humans, like all people. There's no, I find it silly that they felt it necessary to sort of split people up there. We will all suffer. This is bad for everybody.
Yes.
Facebook, fuck off.
Can we find the new word Like, we had Glasshole for the Google Glass people. We need something that rhymes with Ray-Ban that has the same effect.
Is it Facehold?
Facehold.
Facehold, yes. There we go.
Yeah.
Nicely done.
Just ass face. Anyway.
And people, just don't be this into Facebook. Please, I mean, even of all the social networking, Facebook? No one wants to see your day. We don't care. You're really boring. I'm sorry, but, and you know, no. I don't care about your kids as much as you do. I'm sorry. I know that upsets so many people, but I don't care that they've gone back to school. Stop posting photos of it. I don't care.
The interesting thing here is that there is no Facebook branding on there. So I reckon a lot of people are going to go buy this thing, not realizing that Facebook is on there. Because if they know Facebook is on there, they may not necessarily go for it.
Yep, absolutely.
So I think they've been clever there by making sure Facebook isn't on the branding at all.
Yeah, especially one blue with blue bars down the side with Facebook down the middle. Like those faster stripes. You thought Zuckerberg had something to do with it, would have done. And then you look at them and go, yes, it's why. Yeah, no, never mind. Let's walk away.
They're sunglasses. So those of us living in Ireland and the UK have nothing to worry about.
No, whatever.
Yeah, when are you going to wear them?
Yeah. Twice a year. Twice a year, they're just not needed, are they?
Yeah.
So being in Boulder, where even when it's cloudy, you still need sunglasses because we have less atmosphere. I need to worry about this year.
They need secret spy woolly hats is what they need. They need a little bobble hat with a camera in the bobble on the top. That would do it. And then it could like flash red when it's recording. That would be good.
I mean, the only trouble with the bobble hat is it would flap about, so you wouldn't really get a very good shot.
That's true.
That's a minor design fault. But you can have it in the Benny hat bit at the front there. That would stay safe. That would stay. Yeah. And then the bobble would flash to let people know they're recording. Facebook, if that's an idea and you like it, my name is Ian Grant and you can get hold of me at.
So, is this going to sell as well as the Facebook phone did?
I hope so.
Probably. It might sell even worse.
It might be even worse, yeah.
Yeah.
They really aren't that self-aware, are they?
Mm-mm.
It's incredible, really.
They have exactly too much money and they don't know what to do with it.
Also, people on Facebook, you got married 15 years ago. You don't need your profile picture to still be you in your wedding dress. I'm sorry. There's so many things about that website.
How many people even think to change? I mean, I hardly change any profile photos, but I don't put things like that on the site. But yeah, I can imagine they're probably like me where they completely forgot because they probably don't go onto Facebook that often.
Yeah, I want to point out Bob Beach is the best ever. In the chat room, Bob says, I love Facebook, best site on the web by far. I'll definitely be buying these.
How much sarcasm can you fit into one sentence?
Bob has excelled himself in sarcasm right there.
See, Bob is the best.
I am delighted to say I don't have a Facebook account. I had one for about 2 weeks, realized it was nothing but a pain in the backside, closed it immediately and have never looked back. Life is so much better without a Facebook account.
I know so many people that when they say they have a Facebook account, they follow it up with, I don't want it, but I have to have it for work.
Yep.
For work.
Mm-hmm. Right. Like their company has a Facebook page and they need to interact with that. So they need to have an account.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're doing literally anything in like media space or like podcasts or whatever, like
I've been podcasting,
it's unfortunately
for years.
Where the people are.
Hasn't stopped my
shows. I use the groups on there, but even that I don't use frequently. So I'm a terrible Facebook user. I'll log in and register for the group and then I won't go back for like weeks go into the next one.
No, I was a curmudgeon for Facebook for years and now use it a lot. I've got so many friends that I wouldn't have if it wasn't for Facebook. And I've been back in touch with people I went to school with that I wouldn't have done if it wasn't for Facebook. So in somewhat for my targeted use of its medium is great. For people who collect and hobbies are similar to mine that are outside of this sort of stuff, I've got a load of group of friends that do different things. I've got, and I can find information and I can talk to people with a similar hobby. It's great. So for that point of view, I like it. I don't do sharing of kids going to school, and I don't do any of that sort of nonsense, but I use the groups and have friends within those.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so next week we have to look closely at Ian to see if he's wearing his new Ray-Bans.
Yeah. That won't work, because I'll be looking very closely at you, because if they've not got a prescription in them, I won't see anything. I'll be going, well, like, yeah, hello.
It will know if you've got them, because your nose will be at the camera.
Yeah.
yes, of course. Yep. All right. This show and all the others on the British Tech Network is sponsored by TSO Hosts, which is absolutely awesome. Even more awesome now because Patrice migrated us to our new servers on TSO Hosts. We got an upgrade, which means that I presume we are all smarter, more beautiful, and more entertaining simply because of the server upgrade. So that is the best. Yeah. When we say things like TSO Hosts, or we wouldn't be here without TSO Hosts, that's literally true, because they're providing us the server space and the bandwidth we need to be able to bring shows to you every single week. Without them, we wouldn't be able to live stream. Without them, we wouldn't be able to have all of these amazing shows stored so that you can go and watch or listen at your leisure. So they are absolutely awesome, and we love them for the support they're giving us. Also, if you need to get domains or you need web hosting, they've got your back. Use the discount code BTN20 to get a nice little discount when you get your hosting or domains through them. But what they're asking of us is that we take to social media and give them a shout out and let them know that we appreciate that they're here for us, which is almost nothing to ask of us. Just hit Twitter or whatever your favorite social media is and let TSO Hosts know that you appreciate that they're here for the British Tech Network. And
especially now, like right now, like getting those new servers, it would be a great time to just go out and just thank them for it.
Yes. So please go do that. And we are also sponsored by Iman Max. So when you need your Apple kit fixed, you take it there. And what they do is fix your stuff where they actually fix it. They're not just pulling components out, throwing them away and replacing them, you know, like the whole logic board simply because you have a bad USB port. They go and fix the thing that actually needs to be fixed. And that means that there's less waste going into landfills because of what they're doing, which is absolutely awesome. And for me, it's great because now I get to live vicariously through all of you because I'm on the wrong side of the ocean to be able to have Callum replace the batteries in my iPads for me. So I need all of you to take your Apple gear over to Iman Max and have them fix it so I can pretend like they're helping me too. And mention that you're a BTN fan and they'll give you a discount. They also will sell or lease Apple gear to you if you need that. They're wonderful people. And hopefully Callum won't be so busy tomorrow on Friday that he'll be able to join us and we can bask in the glory of his technical skills. So thank you to Iman Max for sponsoring us. One other thing before we move on to the cool stuff. If you have not donated money yet to keep the Daily News Show going, please go do that because we are out of money to make that show happen for you Monday through Friday. And if we don't get enough money coming in to keep the show running, that means it ends at the end of this month, which would suck because that's been, 13 years. Where that show's been happening, and it would be an absolute shame to lose that. And the timing is awesome. Well, for Europe, I guess, and the UK, because by the time you get up in the morning, the news show is out. So you can just have your morning tech news encapsulated for you just right there. And it's a beautiful thing. And if you're in the United States, okay, great. So now you have your lunchtime read. And it's a great show. And it would be such a shame to lose it. So please go make a donation to keep the show running. Just go to the British Tech Network website. There's a button there that you can click, and then you can donate some money. So please go do that. And Patrice, where can people find the live chat so they can participate when they're watching us?
Well, the live chat is very easy to find, because all you have to do is head over to chat.britishtechnetwork.com and do that. What's the time? It's Thursday. For the big show, it's Thursdays at 7 p.m. UK time, I think. And Fridays for the next show, it's 4 p.m. UK time. Whatever that is in your time zone, you will have to figure out yourself. But there you can talk to all of us while we're recording this. And you can talk to other listeners on the show, like Bob Beach and Motorbiker and so on.
Public service announcement we have not made in quite a while is, do not click on the links that Miller puts in the chat.
Yes, always safer that way.
Yes, yes. Okay, so on to the cool things. Ian, what do you have for us this week?
I'm sorry, I'm going to cost some people money.
Isn't that always the point of cool things?
Yeah, I have. if you like Star Trek, you want this.
Oh, go on then.
Click on it.
Oh,
God, there we go. I apologize in advance. You can get it as a print as well. There's Forbidden Planet, the UK comic shop. I've released a series of the original series, the 55 collection, because Star Trek will be 55 this year, various things. And they've got this wonderful T-shirt. I bought one already, by the way. That on the back of it has the full, these are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. It's 5-year mission to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no one has gone before. With that lovely 60s kind of, I don't know how to describe that font, but you'll remember it from seeing the episode names and things on the screen. It was wonderful. And there's a T-shirt with it on the back of it, and I have to have that.
That is,
you are right. That work is costing me money.
I'm just putting one in the basket.
Yeah, my work here is done. Oh, by the way, they also have a load of other similarly related things, including nice, you can get like engineering mugs with the engineer up with your... depends on which part of the Starfleet you want to be a member of. There's like the engineer mug as well.
Ooh, nice.
There's many, many things that if you've got money and you want to buy things, this 55 collection stuff they've got, it's a whole host. I got an email last night and I bought a few things.
To tie back to previous, they also have a Federation beanie hat.
Yeah, they have many, oh, many things.
Perfect. You can add your camera to it.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. That. Oh my God, this is awesome. The only reason that I haven't clicked add to basket yet is because I need to figure out what their international shipping policy is.
Yeah. And there's also Red Not Dead. But yes.
Yet. What a wonderful. They have lots of stuff with that in it. That's fantastic.
There's some fantastic. It's all Forbidden Planet originals. They make some all these brilliant, things. Brilliant.
You haven't
stuff.
Just cost me a small amount of money. You've cost me a large amount of money.
Be happy they're on pre-order, so it'll be a little while until you actually have to spend that money. October. They'll come in October.
Your timing is perfect because it's actually yesterday as we record that Star Trek is officially 55.
Is it? Yeah. Oh, whoa. Well, I didn't realize so I was being president. Mm-hmm. It was just I had this in my email and I thought, I've got to share this with my friends. I know people will enjoy that. And I apologize. I'm going to cost everyone some money.
There
was a whole slew of Star Trek stuff announced yesterday. So very exciting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right. Paula, what's your cool thing?
I think Ian, he did share this in the Slack, but, highlight, because we know that Matrix 4 is coming out. The trailer was out today. Yeah. But I liked the pre-trailer, which was quite good. So when you click it and select which pill you're going to take. So that's my cool thing. That's what I've been enjoying this week. I am gutted that we're not going to have Lawrence Fishburne, and I'm kind of praying that he might just surprise us and turn up. But okay. Because I need the original Morpheus on there. But yeah.
That would be pretty cool. Yep. Now Bob Beach is not excited about Matrix 4.
I am.
Oh, you made one film, didn't they? I don't remember there being any others.
There was one that was okay, and everybody was really excited about it.
One was
about
great.
Half an hour 20 years ago. And then there were these two other things that kind of tried to cash in on it. But yeah. I guess they were made by other people or something, because they were unwatchable garbage from beginning
yes.
to end.
Yeah, one was good.
Point. And then Sort of like 20 years later, after a sort of lackluster kind of, not really done anything. Oh, let's do that thing that we did 20 years ago again. And somebody
think we can get some money out of
it. I disagree.
Yeah. I'm fairly cynical about the whole Matrix experience.
One was great. Two and three are, I would say, underappreciated.
You can't fool me. I've seen them. They were off.
Don't forget Matrix Reloaded. I thought that was pretty cool.
I tried to forget Matrix Reloaded, but the bruising just gets too much before I knock it out of there.
So I get it. What we're doing is mercilessly reopening old wounds for you, Rich.
Yes, I have actually ranted on this about podcast probably about 15 years ago. So I'm kind of retreading old ground here.
Yeah. All right. So then we should move on before we cause Rich more trauma. Patrice, what do you have?
Well, I'm going to pick something that I don't think is going to cause anybody trauma. And that is a new Apple TV Plus documentary called The Year the Earth Changed. I was kind of on a documentary binge the other day. I don't know why. And Apple TV Plus has some really great ones. This one is David Attenborough. In his typical fashion, he basically looked at how the environment changed during all those lockdowns last year. Like all the changes that you saw in behavior of animals or plants and like things that came back or things that came back to the cities or like all of that. Visually stunning as expected. Really great. It's 45 minutes, so it's not like a massive movie that you have to invest like hours into. It's just fun. It's good. It makes you think. It just ticks all the boxes. So if you have Apple TV Plus, go watch that. If you don't have it, you should absolutely get it just for like Ted Lasso and for this and for the other. Like there's so much great stuff now.
Awesome. All right. Bart, before we move on to yours, I want to point out that that Windrider in the chat room noted something that I didn't bring up when we were talking about Microsoft Teams earlier, which is CarPlay support, because of course you want to be able to participate in all your meetings while you're driving.
Yeah.
I
actually have worked out of the car a few times this summer because I had to drive my darling beloved to a hospital appointment, and it was during work hours, and since we're working remotely anyway, I found that the car was actually a perfectly fine office.
I've done that on occasion where we've been places and it need to be, right, fine off the work here then.
So Bart, what I'm hearing is you're slowly transforming into an American.
Actually, it is an American car. You guys describe a Tesla Model 3 as a small car. You don't know what a small car is. Because
you're right.
I call it my Yank tank. It's bloody huge.
Yeah. I have a Prius. Yeah. And it is not a small car, but other people refer to my car as a compact. It is not. A Prius is not a small car.
No. The thing with American cars is they look out of place out of their where they live. Yeah. When you see if you see an American car in America on a freeway, it looks in its place and you see the cars rolling around and everything is fine on the streets and it all looks normal. You transport one of those big Lincoln town car things into a high street in England and you see it parked up in the street, probably the same in Germany and in Austria, and it just looks ridiculous. If you need any other fit, you'll see
the other way around.
You'll see these big trucks rolling around.
Yeah, I was wondering why the BMW i3 wasn't all that popular in the US. And then I moved to Arizona and saw one, and I was like, okay, this looks like a golf cart here. Like, it's so tiny.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah. People are driving pickup trucks that are so big here that there are streets in Boulder where you can diagonal park. And when one of these pickup trucks will park, it turns a two-way road into a one-lane road.
Yes.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Actually, I mean, right. The Model 3 is supposedly a small car. When I park it in my driveway, I can either not cover the footpath or get to my boot. I can't do both.
No, no, you won't be able to, because anything in the UK and probably Ireland too was all designed and shaped around a Model T Ford or an Austin 7.
Yes, sir.
Everything here is designed around, I mean, like all UK garages, single car garages were designed for the Austin 7. That's like an old fashioned car with mud guards on the outside and little rattly things, the sort of thing Muller drives around in still probably because he's that old. But it is those sort of old fashioned cars that everything was scaled for. The driveways are still all scaled for them. So now you take a modern car, a Fiesta won't fit in it.
Well, my Fiesta fit fine in my driveway, and then I got the Tesla, and it's like, nope, doesn't fit. Literally doesn't fit. But anyway, it's, first world problems. I'll live.
Yeah. Anyhow, Bart, what's your cool thing?
Yeah, okay, so I'm going to be really practical on my cool thing. So winter is coming, in case anyone hadn't noticed. So it's time to light up if you're going to be outside or you're going to get smushed by traffic. So this time of year, I always check all of my bicycle lights to make sure they're in good working order and augment my collection as needed. And as far as I'm concerned, there's only one place you go to get bicycle lights. It is a company called Cat Eye, and they have USB rechargeable bike lights. They all have the same shape USB plug. And they're all compatible with each other. So all of the bikes in our house have Cat Eye mounts. All of our lights are Cat Eye. They all charge from the same charger in the kitchen. All the lights go on all the bikes. It is just, if you want bikes and you want to be seen, buy Cat Eye lights. I adore their whole system to bits.
I have Cat Eye lights on my bike.
There we go.
And
then you might now cost me money now.
A really long time. Yep.
All is fair. I do have a bonus tip just to annoy my brother. So I am wearing my Belgian soccer jersey, and I did it for Ewan because he bought me the domain name BelgianIrish.com as a gift when I was on one time. So I thought I'd wear my Belgian jersey. Yeah. But I celebrated Belgium crashing out in the semi-final by buying the world's cheapest Belgium jersey, and my brothers hate me for it. And I'm like, no, this is great that they lost. I got a really cheap jersey.
That's awesome. All right, Rich, what's your cool thing?
I'm having trouble finding something because I haven't bought anything since my keyboard and mouse here. But I can give you some cryptocurrency financial advice. #*, I am not a financial advisor, am I? I'm an idiot. Okay. And so I've been playing with this stuff for about a month now, and I begin to come to the conclusion that if someone were to do the opposite of everything that I do, that person might do very well. And so it might be beneficial if I let people know that today I've bought some Solana and I've bought some Anchor. And since then, in true Rich buying fashion, both have plummeted in price. So if you hold any of these, I encourage you maybe look at what they're doing right now. I don't know, but do the opposite of what I do. So I can give you that advice and hopefully, go along with me. It might work, but don't just, if you lose all your money too, don't get angry at me.
Okay. So
also Star Trek NFTs have launched today. And I still don't know what an NFT is really, but there are some.
That's awesome. All right. So Rich, you've been the financial advisor for El Salvador, right?
They're quite happy at the moment. They were lots of El Salvadorians posting, is that what they are? Posting pictures on social media saying, look, I can buy a Big Mac with Bitcoin now. They're ever so happy with it. So we'll see where this all goes still. I'm excited.
Awesome. All right. So my cool thing, I will start with an apology. Rich, I am so, so sorry.
Oh, is this? Come on,
it's
guys.
The trailer.
I'm trying to invest
for
in
Matrix
crypto.
The trailer.
All right. Okay.
Yeah. As someone that has enjoyed all of the Matrix movies and Matrix Reloaded, although the third movie was the one that I liked the least, but still, I enjoyed it. I am looking forward to Matrix 4. And the trailer, as Awa said, just dropped. So it's out there. Now the link is here so everyone else can watch it. And there you go. My disappointment with the trailer was the announcement that comes along with it. Only in theaters. I think it's irresponsible for the movie companies at this point to be releasing new movies that are available only in theaters.
I thought it was going to be in theaters and on thing. I didn't notice that.
Oh, really?
That's what I thought, but
yeah, it says at the bottom of the thing it's going to be
Okay. Then maybe their initial announcement was theaters only, and they quickly corrected that.
Backlash. Yeah.
Because when I first heard, it was theaters only. So theaters and streaming. Excellent. Now I'm even more excited.
Mm-hmm. Didn't they say it was going to release on the same day as John Wick 4?
Oh, I see. I like John Wick.
Which
anything Keanu Reeves, I will watch. So
right. So John Wick 4 saying the 22nd of May, 2020, 27th of May, 2022, and then Matrix. No, Matrix is Christmas. It's all good.
Okay. So we don't have to choose between which property we're going to watch.
No.
Excellent. Excellent. Okay.
I need to see the June for movie that's just coming out as well. Looking forward to that. That might actually be good as well, apparently.
Which one, sorry?
June.
Oh, yeah. That looks good.
It might actually be good rather than the last one, which I loved, but was terrible. Because that's coming out at the end of October.
I'm kind of looking forward to seeing movies again. It's going to be fun. So we'll all get COVID. Mm.
I can go to the cinema again. That will be a nice thing.
I went and ended up seeing Fast and the Furious 9. Did you know you can drive a car in space?
That's what really? I heard.
Excellent.
Yeah. They need to shoot down a satellite, which is something that you need to do very often. So they make a car into a spaceship and fly it into the satellite and then re-enter the Earth's atmosphere and drive away.
Okay.
Yeah.
That sounds
I think since awesome. Paul Walker died, I've not really paid that much attention to.
It was best not to pay that much attention before then, but they are fun.
But when he died, it just, it kind of lost it for me. Mm.
All right. So we actually got through everyone's cool thing. And wow. Okay. So we're at the end of the show. Right before I ask each of you where you can be found online, I'm going to drop the link to the story that I would have done had we had time. And I'll just read the headline because BBC News handled the headline probably with more class than other places. Robot vacuum cleaner trained to dodge pet feces.
Yes.
iRoomba will now avoid your dog's poop on the floor instead of doing some sort of Jason Pollock crap painting all over the floor with it. All right. On that awesome note, Ian, where can people find you?
People can find me here most weeks on The Big Show. If I'm not here, you'll find me on LinkedIn as Ian Grant. Usual places. I'm on Facebook somewhere if you can find me. Good luck. Thank you very much.
Awesome. How, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter as Howie A.
Awesome. And Patrice, how about you?
By the way, I like Muller's response. Can it dodge satellites?
Can it dodge errant satellites? Well, assuming that's a euphemism, yes, totally.
Okay. Yeah, people can find me every week here on The Big Show and also tomorrow and every week on The Mac Show. Everything I'm doing, all the projects and podcasts and whatnot, you can find at thepatrice.com. And my podcast is The Foodie Flashback at foodieflashback.com, where I talk to really interesting people about food and just everything that goes with that.
Awesome. Okay, Bart, where can people find you?
You can find me at bartb.ie, which is actually spellable, unlike everything else involving me. And I can report that this show has cost me £59.97.
Yeah, I've still got things in my basket. I'm just adding.
Well, I have three t-shirts.
What have you done?
I mean, clearly I need to be a science person, so I have a science t-shirt, a 32nd Century Federation logo, because how can you not have one of those? And yeah, quite clearly, Red Not Dead is an absolute must, so there we go. Yeah, postage to Ireland.
How nice. Much was that? 59.57?
59.97 yeah. For those three, including £12 postage.
60 euros.
No, pounds. It's going to be a bit more when it comes to euro. Yeah. Anyway. Place order. Click. Live on air.
Good man.
Nice. There you go.
It'll be a while till you get them. They're on. All the roads come out till October, but
that's awesome. True. Actually, yeah. Until I'm going to forget all about it, and then randomly the doorbell is going to ring. It's going to be Star Trek t-shirts. I'm going to be very happy.
Yeah, that will be a nice.
That will be an awesome day.
Indeed, yep. It will. Sorry about that. Yes, bartb.ie.
Cool. Okay, Rich. Where can people find you?
You can find me on the YouTube channel Early Morning Barking, but I am thinking of starting a new channel where I find the people at Apple responsible for iTunes for Windows and make them apologize.
I will click the subscribe button as soon as the site goes live.
Yeah. Thank you.
Awesome. Okay. And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram. I'm Jay Gamet, both places. YouTube.com/JayGamet. That's where you can find my videos. Here on The Big Show on Thursdays, The Mac Show on Fridays, Mac Voices Live on Tuesdays. This is Thursday. So this evening, US time, I will be on In Touch with iOS, another live show. And it amazes me that people keep allowing me on their live shows. I just don't get it, but here we are. Anyhow, I get around, I'm easy to find. And tomorrow, on the Mac Show, we are doing our keynote poker. Patrice, is that the correct way to describe a keynote poker?
Our Apple keynote poker.
Yes. So we are all going to show up with our predictions for what Apple will do during the keynote that's coming up next week. And then we will have to follow up after the keynote finishes to see whose predictions are correct and what they bet on each of those predictions to determine who actually wins keynote poker. So tune in tomorrow for keynote poker. All right.
Real money or matchsticks?
No, matchsticks.
Yeah, matchsticks. I'm assuming if we did it with real money, there'd be some international law problems.
Details.
I know. Details. So, hey, thank you to all of you for being such an awesome and fun panel today. This has completely made my Thursday. And I still have the whole rest of the day because I'm in the United States. So thank you for making my whole day. All of you absolutely rock. And all of you that are here live for the show, thank you for being here. You are absolutely awesome. And thank you for being part of the chat room as well. For all of you that are going to tune in and watch or listen to the recordings later, You are awesome. Thank you for being part of this as well. Don't forget to give a shout out on social media to Tioso Host for being our sponsor, and thank them for being part of this. Thank you to Iman Max for being a sponsor as well. Don't forget to throw some money at the Daily News Show so we can keep that happening for you. Please, people, go do that. And thanks again. We'll see you tomorrow for the Max Show. Everyone have an awesome weekend. We'll see you next week.
See you next week.